do we see these charges sticking out in an unusual sort of way? Are these precedent-setting charges?
I would say that they would be, because I think, I mean, just because of the nature of what happened in New Zealand with the mosque shooting, that's never happened before. So, so in that sense, it is precedent-setting, and nothing like that has, well, nothing like this has happened in Australia before. So, yes, so it would be a first in that regard.
What are some of the concerns around these charges? I mean, this is the new age, I suppose, that we live in, the automatic share, the automatic like. We know when this video went out on Facebook to begin with, it wasn't reported for up to 12 minutes, as seemingly anybody watching it didn't see anything disturbing within the content. Is the law struggling to catch up?
That's an interesting question. I think that the law has a norm-setting function, and yes, I was actually quite shocked that no one reported the streaming of the footage while it was happening. And I think that the law has a role to set certain standards, and it has an educative role, and to send a message that certain behaviour is inappropriate and deserves sanction.
Is there a difficulty in setting that norm, though? I mean, obviously nobody would really deny, or I think you'd have to be a pretty twisted mind to deny that this is not okay behaviour, not an okay thing to watch in terms of the mosque shooting themselves. But when determining what content is okay and what content should be censored or should be made illegal, is there a difficulty in finding the right line with that norm?
I think that, you know, I don't think that you could ever set a list of things that are inappropriate and things that are appropriate. This was an unprecedented attack. I wasn't one of those people watching the attack online when it was happening, but I think when it's these sorts of things that are happening, that yes, the law, even though there wasn't a law available, or it was because it would have never happened before, but I think that this is, in my view, an important event in history that leads us to think about the role of law in regulating this behaviour. And in this, and the way that things have worked out with the charges being laid against these people, I think that that has been the right decision, and that it should get people to start thinking about, the way that, if they haven't already, the way that they behave on social media in general.
So in terms of the reaction we might see on social media, or the sharing of this kind of content on social media, is the fear solely around inspiring copycats, adding to the allure for certain twisted minds in performing these kinds of actions, or are there other damages we need to take into account?
Well, I think that the copycat problem is a real problem, and it's not just for white supremacists to copycat. It's also, avoiding reprisals from radical supporters of Islam. So it's on both sides that it's important to protect the public in this instance. Sorry, I got lost in the question.
That's quite... Just in terms of, inspiring copycats, but are there other damages that that we see society, that the law needs to protect society from in the distribution of footage like this this attack?
Yeah, well, I also think that, yes, I do... I think the victims in this particular instance need to be protected. The victims and their families, having to go relive what happened. They'll all have their own ways of dealing with this, with what's happened. And I'm not going to say how they should or should not deal with it, but I think that victims of these sorts of crimes, they should be given a say in how to approach the dissemination or not of these videos of this sort of these sorts of crimes.
And just as a final point, Francesca, I mean, obviously, rather famously, the New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has refused to say the gunman's name in an attempt to avoid adding to his notoriety or infamy. Do you think this is an effective technique?
I think by doing that is, yes, she doesn't want to give him any, she's stripping him of his humanity, which is understandable considering the way that he inhumanely attacked the mosque and killed those people. So she's denying him the respect that he denied, that he denied his victims. So I can understand why she's done that, but by the same time, in naming the crime, it's important for us to do that and to denounce it at the same time as we name the person who did the crime and the crimes that he's committed.
Well, we will leave it there, but Francesca, thank you very much. I do appreciate you joining us this morning.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Francesca Dominello, academic in the Macquarie Law School, speaking to us about the implications of the 6 arrests for distribution of the New Zealand mosque shooting video. I can't say it's one. I certainly didn't see it happening live either. I didn't see any of the footage. Supposedly it was shared some 1.5 million times or something shocking like that. I can't say I saw it cropping up on my feed, but I do remember in one of the mainstream news outlets, they weren't showing the footage, but they teased it. They had the footage right up until he basically approaches the front door and raises the gun, and you know exactly what's going to happen next. And I found, given that was coming out of a mainstream media outlet and not just some Facebook rando, I found that one just disturbing enough with what they left it at.